You know, we think that we're the ones craving connection, you know, with this other plane. They know that we're here, really want to work with us, and they're trying to get through to us all the time.
Welcome to The Expanded Podcast with your host, Lacey Phillips. As a leading manifestation advisor with a process that's, well, radically different from the old New Age model, mine is rooted in psychology, neuroscience, and my energetic gifts. I created this podcast to help you expand your subconscious limiting beliefs about the potential of deserving the manifestations you're calling in. Therefore, you're tuning into this podcast series to show your subconscious that anything you desire is possible. And by pressing play, you've already started the process of manifesting it. And if you enjoy this episode, please leave us a review, comment, and share it with your fellow manifester that's struggling or could really benefit from the information that you're about to learn. A few episodes back, you heard me speaking to founder of Blue Blocks, Andy Mant. And in the episode, I go over how I've healed my hormones through alleviating all non-native EMFs, as well as protecting myself from blue light in the evenings. I'm actually super opposed to talking about products on the podcast, but this is one that I think is completely instrumental, like I said on that podcast episode, especially to my female listeners for their hormone protection. I talk about how I've completely healed my hormones from doing the two things I stated above. And a huge component of that has been using Blue Blocks glasses, the red ones, the red lenses in the evening. So I do that as soon as the sun's setting, I throw them on. And in the day, I wear the yellow lenses that are kind of in the cool 50s retro Ray-Ban frames. And I'll also carry around, which I think are super chic, the clear lenses in my purse at all times. I do the really big aviator ones so that that can also help protect me throughout the day, especially when I'm in front of the computer or I'm in front of, you know, my screen. Otherwise, I'm without fail protected in the evening with the red light protection. Now, for you who are still questioning, I highly recommend you go back and listen to that episode. It's Andy Mant, founder of Blue Blocks. And these are the only blue light glasses that are backed by science that actually work. So that should be really reassuring. And they obviously, as I've suggested, have daytime and nighttime lenses. And what's really cool and actually held me back for a long time and Max is that they do prescription. You shoot them your prescription and they'll make you the prescription or non-prescription and readers, whichever you need. It's free shipping all around the world. And you can even send your own frames that you love of whatever glasses you have, and they'll add their lenses to it too. Again, please to my women listeners, all of my listeners, but especially who are dealing with hormone issues, who are dealing with sleep issues, you will notice a difference immediately from using these. I would suggest even after a couple of days, which is what I noticed. Go ahead and use the code MAGNETIC, that's capital MAGNETIC, for 15% off at checkout. And that's Blue Blocks, BLUBLOX. And you can find those in our show notes below. Go heal your hormones. Today, we kick off an episode with another My Magnetic story. I just wanted to share a recent manifestation story with you, all in case it's expanding for anyone. I'm young, 21. And recently moved back in with my family in Colorado from Phoenix after breaking up with my live-in boyfriend there. It was the most in-my-worth decision I've ever made, even though it was seriously emotionally stressful for a while there. Anyway, since moving back, I've been doing a ton of work out of Lacey's workshop and decided a few weeks ago that I wanted to move to a specific town in Colorado and I wanted to manifest the perfect roommate. I wrote a list of who this person would be and went on with my life. So fast forward, and I randomly got a ping to look online and see if anyone was looking for a roommate in this town, and instantly found a girl who's everything on my list, down to a T. Same age as me, in college, etc. So I reached out to her. I didn't hear back right away, but figured right time, right place. Then I went and did another DI in the workshop. And when I came out of it, I had a text from her. It's been a crazy cosmic journey. We're now looking for a place and I'm working on a list for that too. I told the universe that I wasn't fucking around anymore in terms of being worthy and having what I want, and it's been rewarding me tenfold. Thank you so much, Lacey. This shit does work. Not to mention how great you feel when you're living every day in your worth. I just want to mention, bravo, pat yourself on the back at 21. If I were even remotely in the same place as you, this evolved, doing this kind of work at 21, boy, would I be so advanced. So just keep it up. I'm so happy. And I just want to say that age bears no hinge on this process. It works for everybody at every age the exact same way. So stay tuned, because after this episode, I'm going to answer a supported question at the end. So welcome. I'm going to introduce you really quickly and then we'll get right into it. I have a slew of questions. And in fact, I've, you know, built this little retreat property up in my hometown in Yosemite. And so there's a room full of people here that are like, oh my gosh, you're talking to him. We have so many questions.
I feel honored.
You have a lot of fans this way. So I'm going to introduce today's guest. We have Ainsley MacLeod, who is the author of The Instruction. Well, Instruction. It's basically, I love the book because it goes through describing to you the different soul levels we have on the planet, our soul types. I mean, it's so in depth of also, I love that souls travel together, which seems to be a collective of areas. Yeah. So we have loads to get into, plus your new book. And first, I want to kick off your cultural background and upbringing, which obviously is Scottish.
Right. Thank you. A lot of people say Irish and... Yeah. People in the States will say, so what part of Ireland are you from? And I'll go, oh, what part of Canada are you from? You know, we do perceive a difference over there.
I, in fact, just went to Ireland in January, which is so different from Scotland because I feel incredibly drawn to Scotland. I visited, I think, 2 years ago in the Highlands. I've never had such a deep soul connection to a place on the planet. I didn't anticipate that. And when I went, I was like, because I'm looking to buy the next retreat property in the Highlands. And when I went to Ireland, I was like, I better just check it out in case I like it more. And I got there and it was jolly and rainbows and wonderful, but I was like, right. It's not the Highlands.
Yeah, there's something about the Highlands of Scotland. It really is magical.
Yeah. Well, tell us about your upbringing there.
Well, I grew up in Aberdeen, which is beautiful. On the northeast coast of Scotland. I moved away from there when I went to college in Edinburgh, went to art school, and finally to the States via London. Actually, I spent 15 years in London, so I was there for quite a long time. Came to this country, it's almost 30 years ago.
And you're up in San Francisco?
No, we're actually...
I know. Got that wrong.
Yeah, well, we're actually... It's part of my creation story that it does involve San Francisco. Mm. But there was a psychic who had told me that you're going to end up in California. There's nothing you can do about it. And one of the biggest, most profound experiences that I had was when I moved to San Francisco and on my first night, I heard his voice, not in my head, but in the room from 10 years before, going, you're going to end up in California. There's nothing you can do about it. And there I was. And then, didn't try to ever fulfill the prophecy, but I ended up there. But I live on a little island in Puget Sound.
Oh, beautiful.
Very close to Seattle. Yeah.
That's beautiful. I've been looking on Vashon.
Ah.
Yeah, which is stunning up there.
It is beautiful, isn't it?
You got out.
I really did, yeah. So, you know, that's my home, so...
And you are referred to the reluctant psychic, which I'll say medium as well, because it appears that your uncle was who, from the research I've done, was who came through to tell you that you would be doing, you would be channeling a whole new system.
Yeah. Well, I had this weird experience because, yeah, I was certainly reluctant. I had a lot of psychics. I was drawn to psychics, even though I was a non-believer. I consider myself to be an atheist. Mm-hmm. I had no time for, you know, anyone who thought there was anything beyond what we see. I was just really sort of blocked, I guess. So that's for the longest time. But I was really drawn to psychics. And psychics were always telling me that I was psychic. And, you know, I joke, well, if I was psychic, I wouldn't be paying you, you know. And And they were always talking about my uncle, sometimes by name, is my Uncle John. And the skeptic in me was going, ah, yeah, everybody's got an Uncle John. I mean, John, such a common name, you know. And, you know, lucky guess or whatever. And then I was on a trip to Hawaii and wandering around a bookstore there in a kind of really altered state. And he appeared to me, it's 10 years after his death, and he appeared to me just about a foot away on my right side, as real as life, or even more real, because it wasn't just my sort of memory of him frozen at some point. It was really how he very much looked maybe just a few years before he passed.
Mm.
And totally real. It's as if somebody was there, a real person, for about a second, but with a long message about how he wanted to work with me. And this was a day after psychic had told me, oh, your uncle's here, he wants to work with you. And I'm going, yeah, sure, you know. Oh, people were saying he's a spirit guide. And I go, well, he was an atheist like me. He would have no time for spirit guide nonsense. And but so it took me a little, it took me a few days. It's actually when I was back in San Francisco. I was living in a houseboat at the time in Sausalito. And a very, very quiet, very tranquil place. And I just sat down and I thought, okay, well, I'm going to give it a try. So I just called him in and realized that I could communicate.
Mm-hmm.
Not very well, I have to say. Like, it was very stop-start and I had to really practice. But very quickly, he passed me over to the spirit guides that I work with now. They're on a slightly different level. Mm-hmm. So it was, yeah, it was a kind of mediumship thing. I'm talking to somebody who's, you know, freshly deceased, like a medium would.
Mm-hmm.
But then I got passed on to this other level of spirit guides and they're on a just a different level where they have the bigger picture perspective. They're able to see where you've been, past lives, where you're going, who you're connected with.
Mm.
And, you know, you were talking about how we travel with mm-hmm. souls, particularly as your soul ages, it wants to be with members of the soul family. And these are souls that came into the world at the same time as you.
Mm.
So as an old soul, you might have come into the world maybe 5,000 years ago, and for the last maybe couple of thousand years, you've been really trying to meet those souls. You know, I once had a conversation with my spirit guides where I said, you know, what do you guys do, you know, in your spare time? Or
yeah, like, what's going on up there?
Yeah. And they said, well, we're working all the time to make sure that people connect. They said, for us, it's the great game.
Wow. Yeah, and they were so disconnected. I mean, that's incredible.
Well, I think if we were aware of the fact that we have these soul connections, are more aware, a lot of us, you know, we are aware of things like soulmates and everything. But I think we would value our relationships more. And I think also we'd be maybe sometimes a little more choosy about mm-hmm. relationships.
You know, 100%.
Because I certainly talk to a lot of people who have a soulmate, but they end up trying, you know, they maybe date somebody who's not really that, they're not really that into them.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, well, it's better than nothing, better than being alone, or something like that. Instead of holding out for somebody who with whom you have that really deep connection, because it's old souls you really are. I've only in the time that I've been doing this, which is about 20 years,
mm-hmm.
working with spirit guides and reading people, I've only met two clients who are meant to be alone.
They've wow.
chosen as part of their life plan. They have no, it's in sort of technical terms, it's no mission of connection. They're just mm-hmm. a full-on mission of avoidance.
Mm-hmm.
They live alone and are really happy being alone. And if they had somebody even come to visit for more than an hour, they'd probably start tearing their hair out.
They're oh, yeah.
Not, they don't need anyone in this life. It's
yeah.
part of their life plan. But most of us need somebody. Mm-hmm. You know, we want to be in a relationship. And sometimes that desire to be in a relationship pushes us into ones that are not suitable. I've got so many clients who are in, they didn't hold out for the soulmate and
you know,
ended up settling.
Your new book, I love it. I want to pop into your old book too, which is so important, but The Old Soul's Guide is the new book that has just come out, and it overlaps my work tremendously. Old Soul's Guidebook. There we go. It's beautiful. I'm so glad you're showing it because I've been traveling and you guys have sent it to me and I haven't even gotten to dig all the way in. But what I do know is how much our work really seems to overlap because a lot of my messaging and manifestation that's channeled through, it's very different than the old spiritual bypass model where we are an authentic soul that comes onto the planet that's whole and worthy. And then we receive all of this programming and modeling that totally take us off our soul's journey, essentially. And so it's all about deprogramming that to get back on. And it's seeming to me that this new book that's come out to you, it gives you licensing to what past lives have been up to, what your destiny is in this lifetime. Right. Who you're supposed to be connected with, who you might be traveling with. So it sounds like a very deep guide into how to uncover your soul's journey in this lifetime to give you real direction and compassing.
And avoiding, as much as possible, the effect of other people's expectations,
which is
what you're talking about there. You know, it's like from the moment we come into the world, you know, everybody's trying to like nudge us in this direction or think this is good for you. And you know, the influence of parents, teachers, and so on. I mean, it can be well-meaning, but it can still take us, you know, radically off the path.
Absolutely. And it seems like it also gives instruction too of how, like you're saying, to not settle, which is a huge part of what I believe creates magnetism, is when you can really trust what you're meant to deserve and have in this lifetime and not settle. And it seems like it's a beautiful compass of how to really tap into that.
Well, people settle. In the main, it's to do with a past life fear of inferiority.
Mm.
It comes from a lack of self-worth.
Totally.
And if you go back to the past life, it's all, I use the term downtrodden servant. It's a sort of almost like an archetype of the kind of person you would have been. You were told that you were worthless. You believed that, and your soul will look at the life that you had and say, "Yeah, that's the message we take. We had no worth. We were the lowest rung of the ladder. People treated us badly." And in this life, it puts you on a kind of hair trigger when it comes to messaging about your self-worth.
Mm-hmm.
So, in fact, I was teaching a class last night in my membership program, and I was talking about a teacher I had at school. I haven't thought about this guy since I left school. But back then, it was okay for teachers to hit you. So I was in this remedial math class, you know, nobody figured out that I was never going to be able to count. I have sort of dyslexia with numbers. And he used to slap me on the back of the head and tell me how I'd never amount to anything,
mm-hmm.
you know, and simply because I couldn't read numbers, I was stupid. He told me the best that I could hope for would be sweeping the floor in a factory.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, you know, if you have a pre-existing condition, if you like, from a past life, which has to do with self-worth, it's very easy to take on the opinions of somebody else as if they're fact.
It's open. You're totally open to it.
Right.
Yeah.
Because that's the fundamental belief that the soul has brought in. So it doesn't need a lot to convince it,
mm-hmm.
you know, especially if it's somebody in authority. You know, in my case, I was 14 maybe, and you know, this is a teacher, you know, somebody you're supposed to look up to. Not that I did, but you know, still.
But it's still definitely, it programs into your subconscious.
Yeah, absolutely. It's very hard to shake that off. And, you know, it all depends on what you've got in your soul's past, in the past life. Because I was in that same class with a friend of mine. And he would get the same kind of message from the teacher. And he just laughed it off. Whereas, you know, for me, it was another sort of, you know, nail in the coffin of my self-worth or something.
Oh, yeah.
Because you take it on board as if it's true. It's often so helpful if you have this fear, and so many people do, to recognize that when somebody puts you down or says something that knocks you like that, always to remember that it's their opinion. It's not fact.
Mm-hmm.
But we can so easily take it as if it is
Right. Especially like growing up in this lifetime, you know, bringing that in and then having modeling a foundation at home or whatever that really doesn't support the worth. I mean,
right.
just a snowball effect. And obviously, I think so much of the purpose to be in this life is to overcome that and really get into your divinity, right? Essentially.
Absolutely. It's what your soul is working on all the time is trying to help you to overcome it or transcend all these blocks, fears, limiting beliefs, and so on that stem from past lives. And you know, people ask me all the time about, well, surely this life, you know, it has this big effect. You know, we look for things that happen in childhood, but very often it goes back beyond that.
Amazing.
It's something that could have happened hundreds of years ago. I see it when I, particularly when I work with siblings, when they have raised in the same dysfunctional family, same trauma, but they see it in very different ways. And it really, for one, it might be all about self-worth and they carry that forward. But that's because they have that pre-existing fear of failure, a fear of inferiority. Somebody might see it as all being about rejection because they were abandoned in a past life. It's like, it's as if you can't really get to the final piece of healing if you don't know.
It's so true.
Yeah.
But
your soul wants to clear that stuff out. It doesn't want to carry it. It's like baggage that it has. It's aware it has the baggage. And it, you know, so we're all being guided, whether we know it or not, to work through these things. And, you know, even it can be the choice of parents. You know, your soul chooses your parents mm-hmm. you. And that's always the one where I tell people that and they go, what on earth? You know,
I know. This community will have no problem believing that. We have
right.
fully on that game.
But you know, look at how your parents can trigger fears, and you know, maybe again, if it's this issue with inferiority, maybe you have parents who put you down, and or reinforce that belief that you know you probably can't have all the things that you want in this life. You're probably not going to achieve what you want. You're not really as good as the next person. They maybe compare you to your sibling or. You know, somebody in your family or one of the kids at school or something like that. It's actually designed, the soul will choose parents like that because it wants to trigger the fear so it can be worked through.
Absolutely.
Because if you don't, you know, there's certain board games where you get to the end and you can only finish the game if you throw a six.
Mm.
Or, you know, there's some conditions so you can be really close to the end, but everyone's catching up. And it's a little like that. When you get to be a really old soul, that you have to work through these fears. And if you don't get the opportunity to do that, you have to keep coming back until you can. So the soul will sometimes choose dysfunctional families of origin because it's trying to bring these fears to the surface.
And I think that's the perfect pivot because your first book, which Instruction Living the Life You Intended, is such a build on this, right? It really kind of shows you what your soul level is, your soul type, your primary influence, your secondary influence, all of that. And then I think why the second book is so phenomenal, once you really have an understanding of what you are and who you are, it seems like the second book is really giving you the licensing now to, in this soul level time for you, to really finish the work you're supposed to do in order to move on, essentially.
Well, you know, we're really meant to do it. Actually, there's something I said in one of my other books, but you know, it's apropos here, is that the spirit guy said to me one time, what use would it be to learn how to drive if it took a lifetime?
Mm.
And you know, we have this idea that to figure out our destiny and understand who we are and why we're here, it's a lifelong struggle. And, you know, your destiny is this holy grail, this intangible thing that you may or may not figure out by the time you die. And actually, it's all so much easier. You know, one of the things that I talk about is how your destiny is really staring you in the face if you know what to look for.
Mm-hmm. It's so obvious.
Unfortunately, most people don't know what to look for. It's a little bit like when people say you don't remember your past lives, and I go, oh my God, you've no idea. You know, you remember past lives through physical ailments in your body, you know, areas of weakness, insecurities, limiting beliefs, phobias are all past lives, talents are all past lives. You know, you remember your past lives in all sorts of ways.
Mm-hmm. It's obvious to you. Well, let's get in and show people a little bit of this work, because the first book, for those of you who aren't familiar, or the very first book I've read, you know, it's all about, which is Instruction Living the Life You Intended. It's really about finding out the soul level, which seems so authentic, the lane that you're in coming up. And I love systems. And in fact, actually, this is a really good place to implant. What is your sun sign?
My sun sign? I have no
your
idea.
Birthday. I know you're such
oh,
a
my birth.
Yeah. What's oh, your my. Astrology sign?
Oh, right. Okay. That's the sun sign. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm Pisces.
Pisces. And then do you know anything about human design? Have you heard of that?
I've heard of it.
Do you know what you are by chance?
No,
this is how we profile on here. We cosmically profile. This is
okay. I'm good with that.
Excellent. Okay, great. Well, the beauty is your system is so fantastic that you channeled through, you know, through the guides of the different levels. And just to kind of walk people through that briefly, it actually to me is one of the coolest systems that I've come across, because it really helps you understand another person you may be going through conflict with. Or, you know, for instance, I went through this situation last year during this call out culture, and I was like, oh man, they're just level twos and threes. It's fine. Yeah. Like I can really actually resonate. And so going through the book, it walks you through each of the soul levels, and you can really start to identify who you are, where you are, why you may be into this or that, and it's okay, why you may be more egoic, or you may be a little bit more tribal or loyal. I mean, it really gives you all of this cool licensing to be where you're at. And that's really phenomenal. And are you able to do a reading if we just want to show people a little bit of what this looks like?
I can certainly tell you some things about you.
Excellent. Should I tell you what I've guessed and let you go from there? Or do you want to go first?
I usually prefer, if I'm in a session with a client.
Excellent.
Sometimes they've taken my soul type quiz and they'll say, I think I'm a, and I go, oh, don't. That's
yeah, you're
my
like,
job. You know, it's like, yeah, but let me tell you first. And then that would help to validate it. So there are 10 soul types. I got to point out, by the way, that when it comes to systems, I am the most disorganized person. Mm. My brain is, so I mean, I am, you know, off the charts right brain. I have virtually no left brain in there at all. And so people will say, yeah, particularly about the instruction, gosh, your book is so well organized.
Oh, it's so systematic.
I have to thank the spirit guides for that. Because, oh my God, I couldn't have done that myself. And so my brain just wouldn't work that way.
Yeah, I say that with manifestation. It, like, it is nothing to do with me. It comes through me. Thank God for them.
You know, my grandfather, jokingly, I mean, it sounds like he was putting me down, but he used to say to me, and sometimes, and because part of my sort of very right brain thing is I'm sort of impractical, and you know, things that other people just can do easily, I just struggle with. And he said, you know, one day you'll make a damn fine shepherd. All you'll need is an intelligent dog. And my feeling is that I have these intelligent dogs on the other
That's
side.
That's amazing. Which we all have. And a lot of people are checking in and using this. It's crazy.
Right.
Which I love about both of these books, you know, and I can't wait to really get deeply into the new one. But it's like really asking you to tap in deeper and have this guidance.
Yeah. Well, now I want to tell you a little bit about yourself.
Okay.
Now I didn't get, it's not a full reading. It's not like, you know, if I had an hour to do a session, we can go in. But I'll give you some of the really salient points. Mm-hmm. First of all, you're a very old soul. Mm-hmm. You're level 10. And that's not just, you know, you're coming to the end of the journey. And I don't say that to flatter you. Oh yes, you're.
No, I have to actually.
But you just are, you know.
And I have to tell you, what I say all of the time to my friends is, I'm so tired, my body's tired, that I hope this is my last time.
That is, you know, often when I've told somebody, because you can never guarantee, you don't know until you process this life whether you're going to come back or not. Mm-hmm. But you get that sense, you know, I can look at somebody and they're essentially 90% through mm-hmm. level 10. And I'll say to them, this could be your last life. And I've had people burst into tears and say things like, I just want to go home.
Wow, you know, I just want to be a guide next time. I don't want to be in a body anymore.
That's right. I mean, I feel like if I had to come back, it's like, oh no.
Exhausting.
You know, I want to be a guide too. So So you're at the end of the journey. I mean, you're at the end of level 10. You're actually 80% in. I mean, it could still, it's not like you have to go 80, 90, 100. I mean, it's like this could be your last life, or maybe it just depends on what you need to work through. But one of the things that is very, very important in this life is connecting with people. Mm. It's part, 80% is analogous to level 8, which is all about people and relationships, or a big part of it anyway. So that has as well to do with, and this is I don't want to get too esoteric, but it's got to do with past life fears as well. Mm. Being a uniter, bringing people together. I've actually found that that's a little bit of a common theme with people who do podcasts and such, that they seem to be uniters. Mm-hmm. It's a way of bringing people together. So you're right there, up there as a, you know, in terms of your soul age. Usually the signs of being such an old soul, but we talked about the major one. It's like, oh gosh, I've been around the block so many times. Do I have to keep doing this? That's probably the most common. But if you think of your soul's journey, you're going from, you know, being like a very young soul to a very old soul over maybe something like 110, 120 lifetimes. You're going from a place of fear to a place of love.
Mm.
So you're learning, because one of the ultimate goals of all souls is to learn about love and the importance of love. You know, expressing love, being loved, compassion, altruism. These are, you know, it's what you're striving for. And all your experiences teach you, even, you know, most awful things that you have to go through in this life or other lives can be a lesson about love and the importance of love, maybe through being denied love.
Mm-hmm.
And there are actually 10 core values. In my first book, in the instruction, the spirit guides, they refer to them as paths, like the path you should be walking, say the path of truth. Mm-hmm. This is something you should be, you know, walking the path of truth all the time. Second book, they call them goals, but they're exactly the same 10 things there. Mm-hmm. And they also call them core values. And actually, it's by walking, let's say, it's truth. You walk the path of truth to reach the goal of truth, to embody that core value of truth. So you have these 10 core values. You're working towards that. So as an old soul, truth, honesty should be really important. Freedom,
mm-hmm.
you know, being allowed to live your own life without interference from others, hugely important.
That's huge for me. Huge, yeah, huge, yeah. Huge.
Oh my gosh, absolutely. Travel, you know, mm-hmm. be the marker of that. It's connected with the mission of exploration, which you have for this life as well. Your soul types, you know, to go to the core of your personality, you're actually a creator type.
Ah! I thought, right. I had down. Sorry.
Not another word. Okay. Well, I'll just give you the three major ones that I want to talk about, because it looks a little incongruous. It's creator, performer, and hunter.
There's other
elements in there. You've got spiritualist and thinker, but let's not talk about those, because these are the three elements that I think are really most intriguing. So, you would, because of your soul age and being a creator and having that immense sensitivity that's associated with creator types, you should be very, very intuitive. Mm-hmm. And in fact, how you navigate the physical plane will be very much through using your intuition, or at least it's part of the lesson. You probably recognized at this point that your intuition is really serving you. Absolutely. Very, very well.
Yeah. In fact, when I'm on it, everything flows. I mean,
Yeah, absolutely. And you look back at those times when you use that more rational part of your brain and sidelined, you know, when you second guess your intuition,
mm-hmm.
and where that things didn't work out quite so well, maybe exactly. wasn't the best choice or whatever. Yeah. So
that helps to,
it helps. Yeah, yeah. It helps to validate, you know, as well, when you can look back and you go, yeah, that didn't work so well. But if only I'd listened to my intuition, you know, like that voice was telling me that maybe that person wasn't going to be around, or that choice, you know, wasn't the right thing. So you have created with a primary performer influence. The performer is, in part, it's designed to give you more of that sort of extrovert thing you want, and also to be center stage as well. There is one little problem that people with primary performer influence have that I come across all the time, is feeling that wanting to be in the spotlight might be egotistical. Mm-hmm. You know, they worry about that. Oh my gosh, maybe it's my ego. Should I really be doing this? But actually, because you're wanting to be so influential in this life, you want to reach as many people as possible. That's what you're here to do. And the performer mm-hmm. will do that. It also gives you great people skills. And that's why you see it in people who are in sales, for example. You know, they have it. But usually, when I see that primary performer influence, the person I'm talking to has some way to reach an audience. They give presentations, so they're a motivational speaker or something, but they need an audience. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you have to have that. Because that performer has to go somewhere. The creator you developed over many, many lifetimes, being a creative person. And so you could have been an artist, could be a musician, chef. I mean, there's all sorts of, you know, gardener, you know, anything is sort of creative. And you need some creative outlet always mm-hmm. in this life. You know, there's that part of you always needs to be expressed. And then with the performer, you've learned to be the performer through things like dance and literally being a performer and an actor and that sort of thing. One of the things that I found whenever you put the creator and performer together, there's almost always, this would be like a 19 out of 20 thing at the very least, is a love of dancing.
Mm.
The enjoyment of using the body rhythmically. So are you a dancer or do you enjoy that?
No, I used to love it when I was small, but I don't at all really use that as an instrument or an expression whatsoever. I do love tapping into music, and I was an actress, of course, like performers always really resonated deeply, and creator 100%. It's what I use, you know, to guide, aside from my intuition, everything.
But not dancing, that's interesting. Okay.
No.
You're the one out of 20.
But it could be a block from a past.
It could be
life.
A block. I think it probably is, especially because if you once enjoyed it, you know, that's very often a sign.
Mm-hmm.
There's a talent there, that's something that we can talk about this separately sometime. Mm-hmm. I'll ask the guides about that. Well, it could be related as well to the other element that I wanted to talk about, which is you have the hunter in there.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of masculine energy.
Oh, yeah.
You know, not everybody's going to see, you know, you know, how you present is, you know, maybe, you know, you look very feminine and sort of old soul gentleness there, but you've got that hunter in there, and there's something that will happen to almost everybody with this kind of combination, which is people will misread you. Some people will think you're a pushover because they're only seeing those very gentle parts, and then they get really surprised if they try to take advantage of you in that hunter part. It's like the scorpion sting, you know, tail comes up and boom, you know, stings them, and they wonder where did that come from. But that's how the hunter operates.
It's 1,000% accurate.
And there's another weird thing that can happen. Maybe you, it would be often something you hear a little bit sort of later. Somebody may say, you know, when I first met you, I was kind of intimidated by you. And that's, again, because they're picking up very much on that masculine hunter energy and not quite knowing, it doesn't sort of fit, you know, so they feel intimidated by that. You know, it makes you a very strong woman.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also because there's a major problem with being a creator type, because I'm a creator type.
Okay.
And that is that you can get so caught up in your emotions, feelings, your thoughts, and you can go in circles and not necessarily get anywhere. But if you choose something like the hunter, it's a way that your soul is ensuring that you are directed, task oriented, goal oriented, because it's really about achieving things, getting things done in this life.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is that you develop the hunter through literally the past lives as a hunter, or, you know, it could be things like, oh my gosh, you know, building bridges, captaining a ship, you know, I mean, it's like usually quite outdoorsy activities connected with nature mm-hmm. and usually quite physical. And one of the things, well, actually, especially when we're talking about something like dance, you need to let off steam.
Mm.
And a hunter and performer, you need to be using your body in some sort of way. So whether it's, you know, walking, cycling, hiking, you're working out, what something. Do you get exercise every day?
Even hiking, I have to every day. Okay. Absolutely. Yeah, it's huge for me. And in fact, my body is so tired that anything that I exert too much is a little taxing, that hiking and walking is my favorite form of movement.
Yeah. I mean, that gives you the opportunity for a number of things. Hiking for somebody like you is a meditation, because you get, it's like the hamster on the wheel, you know, you're just getting into a sort of rhythm, and it allows you to, it distracts the left side of the brain and allows you to connect with your spirit guides, your mm-hmm. soul. So it can be a really good form of meditation. Also, it gives you access to the outdoors.
Mm-hmm.
That's, you know, you relate to that because of the past lives,
mm-hmm.
Because so many of them were spent in nature. No, I don't have a hunter in me, and I enjoy nature through the window. You know, that's enough.
I describe
myself as an indoor cat.
You're Garfield. But,
really?
You're an archetype. Totally.
I used to hate mornings. You don't give me a coffee. So yeah, I'm Garfield. I haven't thought about that. So. Where was that? Yeah, we're all different in that sort of respect. You know, I've always joked to my kids, you know, when they were little, they would use camping as a threat, you know, to control me. You know, it's like, you know, if you don't behave, Dad will make you go camping. It's like, oh God, no, the nature, you know. Now you had a past life that's worth mentioning.
Oh yeah,
it felt like a very disappointing past life. Because you didn't really go for it. You had the opportunity to achieve things, but you played it small.
Mm-hmm.
It was a life in Australia. You were a guy, and you had an experience, actually, funnily enough, it was in the outdoors, and you got bitten by a snake,
mm-hmm.
and it caused a heart attack and your death. So, and there's some significant things about that. It's, again, it might be a sort of 8 or 9 out of 10 thing, but usually when I find that they've been bitten by a snake, or it can be a spider bite or something, usually there's a kind of, it was like a fear of needles, you know, mm-hmm. very often, you know, it's something to do with, you know, the body being punctured or sometimes, you know. A fear. I mean, even some people pass out when they're giving blood, you know, because it's so strong. It depends. I mean, we're all different. It depends on other past lives and so on. Usually, because of the hunter influence and the whole outdoors thing, and for even other reasons as well, you should be pretty good with wildlife.
Oh, totally. Even like I grew up on a ranch. So, you know, we are taught how to like walk high so you can avoid snake, you know, like none of it is fearful, but this makes sense, you know, having stunted that life based on that.
Yeah. But the interesting thing to me is that the heart attack is around the heart chakra. And that's a major thing in this life, because it's a sort of connection, like there's a physical and almost metaphorical, if you like, connection. You know, when the spirit guides will talk about things affecting the heart chakra, you can often feel it in the heart. And I think mm-hmm. the heart would be a place where you would feel emotions very strongly.
And just consciously recently, like the last 4 years of really feeling everything through that, because I was so closed, which makes a lot of sense, prior to it, and afraid to open it.
Yeah. Well, that really goes to what I was going to say, is that this life is about keeping the heart chakra open.
Boy, is that hard.
Exactly. Because, you know, any assault on the heart is going to then go back to other past lives, where what happens when you get, sometimes it can be like an emotional, physical violation you know, it's often things like rape or sexual abuse in the past life. Your soul tries to protect you by detaching.
Mm-hmm.
But there's other ways that you can express it. It's like shutting down the heart chakra.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes sense because what it's trying to do is save you from the worst of the, you know, the emotional effects of what happened. But then in future lifetimes, it's always about trying to keep that open because it's that hair trigger thing.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, if you feel at all unsafe with somebody, then it's the default mode. It's where you go, is to shut down the heart chakra because it feels safe. Mm-hmm. And you feel great and, you know, you're not hurt by the experience, but you're not open to love, you know. And so I was saying, love is one of the major goals that you have for this life. So, but when you have a major goal, unfortunately, it doesn't come fully formed, wrapped up with a bow. It's something that you have to work on, and you have challenges, and you have knocks and disappointments, but it's all taking you, you know, in time, you know, to that place where you really are able to express love and receive love as well. Mm-hmm.
So I'm quickly interrupting this episode to invite you, if you're ready to start your manifestation journey, or if anything you've heard in our manifestation episodes has piqued your interest, to begin. We have a la carte workshops in everything from the basics bundle, which is what we recommend to everyone who starts. It's the formula that actually teaches you how to manifest, unblocked inner child and unblocked shadow. We also have a la carte workshops on love and money. But the real gem is the Pathway membership because it encompasses every single workshop we have. It's a year-long membership with full access to the few a la carte offerings we have and exclusive workshops not available anywhere else, such as the daily practice, which is what everybody in the Pathway uses, hopefully at least 3 times a week to daily, in order to truly create the new neural pathways that one needs in order to manifest, and houses the library of our deep imaginings, which is our unique hypnosis process that allows you to get into your subconscious and overwrite those old neural pathways, creating the new ones. You can use our special code EXPANDED, all caps, EXPANDED, to receive $20 off your first a la carte workshop purchase or $20 off your first month of the Pathway. Again, that's all caps, EXPANDED, EXPANDED. Okay, now back to the episode.
This actually pivots me into a question, you know, while you're open, is that I am so curious about a spirit baby around me. I don't know if you connect with them, but it's been about 3 years now of trying, of it not coming through. And I'm so curious if there's anything you pick up on the little spirit.
Well, you're talking about the infertility issue.
Well, it's like unexplained. There's nothing wrong. Apparently, it just hasn't journeyed through yet.
Yeah. Well,
which could be like a number of things, but I'm so curious to get your perspective. And,
well, particularly all the time, I spot, you know, when I'm working with people, I don't generally say, so what's your ailment? And then find some past life story to fit. Mm-hmm. What I'll be doing is I'll tell somebody about a past life and I'll say, and this would usually show up this way. How's, you know, do you have any pain in your abdomen, or do you have issues with this, or whatever?
Mm.
Now, if I find that somebody's died in childbirth, or had awful experiences, like there's somebody I talk about in the new book,
mm-hmm.
that she was having major sort of fertility issues or infertility issues, and she has undergone in a past life a cesarean section without anesthesia, and expected to die, you know, and she was terrified, as it turned out, of childbirth. And, you know, I just simply told her about what had happened. And she was able to let things go. Because all you got to do with a past life is find out what happened and tell the soul, just, you know, verbally, just like, okay, this happened. The soul goes, oh, okay, it's a past life issue. I'll let it go.
That's a wonderful remedy.
It's the weirdest thing. Yeah, the healing is just enormous. And you know, I'm dealing with this on a daily basis. It's just, and it blows me away all the time that people can, they can overcome issues. You know, very often the kind of thing where doctors say, well, we don't know what's what the problem is. And, you know, quite a few stories in the Old Souls Guidebook about that. And the problem is the soul. Although you could have 120 lifetimes and your physical body dies between lives, your soul's conscious throughout. So this is life number one from your soul's perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And so it has difficulty separating what happened maybe 300 years ago in another lifetime from what's happening now. And when you present it as past life, and you can do it with kids even, tell them it's a bedtime story and they can overcome night terrors or whatever they have. It's just getting through to the soul. So I did that with this woman and told her about the awful past life. And she went away and as it turned out, got pregnant very, very quickly.
Mm.
You know, within weeks.
Wow.
There was also somebody I talk about in my second book, in The Transformation.
Mm-hmm.
And she came to me and she'd been told that at age 35, she told me at age 16, she was told she had the hormones of a menopausal woman. And at age 35, she wanted a baby. And she said, it's just not going to happen. And so my spirit guide said, and they do this from time to time, and it usually freaks me out. It's where they give like a promise, you know, a guarantee.
And you're like, no, this is...
I'm like, oh my God, you know, what if it doesn't work? And they come back and it's, you know, the spirit guides are safe. But, you know, what if this person... takes it out on me.
You're like, it's my reputation. Yeah.
Right, exactly. You know, so it's like, thanks a bunch, guys. So they said that if she did the past life work, regardless of what she'd been told, they said she'll be pregnant within, I think they said 3 weeks.
Wow.
Yeah. And as it turned out, she got pregnant within about, I think it was maybe 2 weeks.
Mm.
And she knew the day after.
You know, wow.
She was just absolutely convinced. And knew it would be a girl. So she told her husband, she said, you know, I'm pregnant and it's going to be a girl. And he thought she was crazy and lost her mind, you know, after a day or two. But she was convinced. And as it turned out, she was absolutely right. And, you know, 9 months later, she had a little baby girl.
Wow.
You know, and what had happened was that the soul has a big influence over the body. In fact, the soul can't separate mind, body, and spirit. And mm-hmm. that's like a really important principle to understand.
And you're talking about our soul.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Your soul is unable to separate the physical and the mental,
mm-hmm.
the spirit. Because it's just all, to the soul, it's all one. So it exerts a lot of influence over the body. And what the soul will do is carrying the memory of the past life of death and childbirth. It will say, well, we don't want this to happen again.
Mm-hmm.
Having a child equals death, so we're not going to do it. So it shuts down the body. And then when you remind the soul, oh, that's a past life, it goes, oh, that's fine. And it just lifts whatever block or barrier it's created.
How beautiful, how quick.
And it's amazing how quick it is. There's somebody I talk about in the Old Souls Guidebook. Her her past life involved beheading.
Mm-hmm.
And every time, I've seen somebody who's beheaded in a past life, which is unfortunately a lot more common than you might think.
Oh, totally.
That they have neck and shoulder pain.
Mm.
Now, you get hanged in a past life, you're going to have neck pain. Mm-hmm. But beheaded seems to have shoulder pain as well. So... I asked her about that. I said, you know, do you have any neck and shoulder pain? And she said, she's had 20 years of chronic pain in that area. And she's a ballroom dance teacher. And she said, I have to, you know, move, you know, all the time, look behind me and move my neck. And I'm in constant pain. And as I told her about the past life, the pain lifted.
Mm,
20
wow.
years of chronic pain lifted. And I'm telling the story at an event about a year later, and a hand goes up in the back of the room, and I think it's a question, but it was actually her, and she's going, yeah, It's never come back.
Wow. And incredible.
Turned up at a couple of other events and, you know, and checking in with her and, you know, it's, yeah, it's never come back.
Oh, you know, that's incredible.
It's from like, you know, 5 minutes on the phone and just the soul being able to, you know, because it's really just a ghost memory, this area of weakness, and just the soul being reminded. That's all it takes.
I love that.
I was saying you can tell a child a bedtime story, but I'll work with a parent and just tell them what happened to the child, and they go and tell their child what, you know, what happened. But they can dress it up and just, you know, it's a little story about these two guys or, you know, whatever. One of them, like a five-year-old, said to his mother maybe a week or two after hearing a story about his own past life, he said, "Remember that guy you told me about who got lost in the woods and died? That was me, wasn't it?"
Because they're still so connected.
Yeah. It's like the veil hasn't come down. So, what I'd be happy to do with you is we'll have a session.
Excellent.
And let's find out what happened to you.
Yeah.
You know, to really go into the necessary detail, I'd have to be sort of like really focused with my spirit guides on that.
I love that.
But I imagine there has to be something like death and childbirth or some awful thing that would, because otherwise it's easy. The soul has no fear of you know, even though we've all died in childbirth, somewhere along the lines, if it's far enough back, it's probably not going to affect you.
Mm-hmm.
But for you, it would probably be a more recent past life.
I had somebody say, yeah, in a Victorian time, it was actually a reading with an Akashic reader. Her name's Ashley Wood. For the people listening, she'll be coming on the podcast soon. That, yeah, I had my child died during childbirth, and it was so traumatic that I haven't let that go fully yet.
And if you've lost a child in childbirth or any other way, it's going to create a past life fear of loss.
Yeah.
And that could be the soul's fear that it's you could have a baby and then you lose it.
Mm-hmm.
And nothing would be worse. It's the worst emotion you've ever felt. So it's trying again, soul's trying to protect you from that awful feeling.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, you might know that you have a fear of loss. There's a couple of ways that it shows up. One of the ways is, especially for somebody, because I see travel for you being huge. I don't know how much you've traveled. And you mentioned Scotland and Ireland, but
A lot. I've traveled a lot, and it's a lot more is on the roster.
And it's going to be an awful lot more in the future as well. Yeah, you know, come here to travel. But if you have a fear of loss, you probably want to travel fairly light. Or even not have too much that you feel it holds you down to one place.
That's actually been an odd goal of mine, because I used to travel really, really heavy, and I kept finding all of these people who packed so lightly, and it just looked so enticing.
Right.
That I've learned how to make like even 10 days in the winter in the UK a carry-on.
That's quite a gift. That's exactly what I'm talking about. Yeah.
So that makes perfect sense. Mm-hmm. I did have one more psychic question to ask you that I promised both of my parents, to see if you could tap into what their soul levels are, and then I'll move on to my other question.
Okay. Oh my gosh. It's very hard for me to do it.
Not in session.
I'm kind of, yeah, exactly. You know, I'm kind of, when I'm working with somebody in a session, I'm totally focused. I have no distractions. It's a little hard for me. I mean, I'm getting sense of it, but I can't.
No, we'll have to do a session.
I tell you what, when we have a session, I'll tell you all about that.
Excellent.
Maybe I can come back on your show and
absolutely
talk about this. Yeah.
So going back to the instruction, a question that I thought would be really helpful to the readers. In fact, one of your other fans and I kind of came up with this question, who's here at the house now. Do you have helpful tips of how to communicate with your guides if you aren't good at meditating, if your mind just can't stop speeding and you can't get centered, to call them in and work with them? Do you have any tips on that?
Yeah, well, that's something I get asked a lot. And people say, well, I can't switch off and, you know, I've got this, you know, overactive mind and I'm always thinking and analyzing. And that is a problem. Because to communicate with your spirit guides, you do want to have some tranquility in your life. And that's why when people ask me questions like that in a session, what I get from the spirit guides, unfortunately, for the person who doesn't want to meditate, is I get meditate, and I usually get the word three times because it's such an essential thing to do.
So important, yeah.
I mean, there are definitely, you know, tips. One of them would be to spend a day without any electronic devices.
Huge.
You know, really, you know, I mean, you don't have to go off to an ashram or something, but you could just do it on your own. But just, you know, have a day that's more tranquil. And then at some point in that day, just, you know, sit for 10 minutes. You know, you don't have to punish yourself with meditation. And it is really hard for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
But 5 minutes better than nothing. 10 minutes is better than 5 minutes. You know, if you can do something, just still your mind a little, have some tranquility, a little peace and quiet in the room, and put out requests or start a discussion with your spirit guides.
Mm-hmm.
We all have spirit guides, and they all want to work with us. And you know, the common thing that I get is people saying to me, oh, "I don't think my spirit guides are with me, or I'm not hearing them." And the spirit guides are saying to me, "But we're yelling, you know, we're really trying to get this person's attention."
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've noticed, I think I mentioned in one of my books that, you know, we think that we're the ones craving connection, you know, with this other plane. And yet they have an even clearer view of things that allows them to see that there is this potential.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're not sure. Do I really have spirit guides? They know that we're here,
yeah,
and really want to work with us. And they're trying to get through to us all the time. And we're making it hard for them, you know, very often.
Totally. Especially with things like electronics and all the new technology, yeah, and being in cities, you know, it's very distracting from that clear communication.
Yeah. You know, what I say is that, you know, people wake up and, you know, switch on the TV or the radio, and maybe there's people around, and they have breakfast, and then they get in the car with the radio on, and they go to work, and there's people and distractions and so on. They come home and switch the TV on, and it comes to bedtime, and they say, you know, I don't think my spirit guides are working with me. And, you know, how are they supposed to get through? It's really, really hard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they need to, you know,
there's no, yeah,
give
no,
them a break.
Yeah, totally.
The other thing, I got to tell you this. I was working with somebody a few years ago, and she said, you know, something about spirit guides are not, you know, they're not responding to my questions or requests or something. And I said, well, you know, are you writing down your questions as well as saying them?
Mm-hmm.
And she said, no, I'm just thinking them. And I said, I asked the spirit guides, well, what's your take on that? And they said, you know, it's hard enough being a spirit guide without having to be a mind reader as well.
Being telepathic. I honestly make that mistake a lot. I think them and I don't speak it aloud or write it, yeah, down. That's a great tip for people.
I mean, I think this applies to anything in manifestation as well.
Yeah.
You know, of any kind. Write it down.
Huge.
Talk about it.
Yeah. Step one.
Put it on the front burner.
Yeah.
You know, I talked about it again. It was somebody I worked with years ago. We were talking about sort of like basic manifestation. And she said that she had read somewhere that if you really want something, that you write it on a piece of paper and put it in a drawer and forget about it.
Mm.
And, you know, my spirit guides, I just remember how they were sort of clutching their pearls and swooning. You know, it's like, oh my God, this is you know, this is the complete opposite of what they would suggest.
Yeah, same.
From their perspective, if you want something, you talk about it, you write it down, you have a vision board, you have it, you know, something on the wall. I mean, like where you're reminded all the time that, you know, that this is something that you want to create in your life. You talk to your friends, you buy books on the subject, whatever it is, you know, you keep it on the front burner.
A question I have for you to pivot to as well. When it comes to the Old Souls guidebook, because I think there's a lot that people can really look forward into that. You know, a lot of people that come to us, you know, and they're doing manifestation work, most people are in pursuit of what is my purpose. It's so confusing because we've been fed so many stories of what that should look like through society. And while what do they have to expect in the book working through that?
Well, one of the most important principles that I discuss here is that who you are is why you're here. And if you really want to understand your life purpose, you need to figure out yourself. Mm. Because I have a chapter, it's called Scaling Mount Everest in Flip-Flops. The point being, actually, that you wouldn't. You would, if you were going to climb Mount Everest, you would have climbing gear and oxygen tanks and whatever. You would certainly not wear flip-flops. So if you look at the personality that you've chosen, it tells you so much. Even with that little bit about, you know, I was telling you about who you are, it tells us so much about the kind of things that you want in your life. You want a creative outlet, to perform with an audience. The hunter wants to have clear goals and, you know, the outdoors and whatever. You know, and there's a few more elements in there as well, but, you know, those are the ones we were talking about. And so that's why I start with talking about some of the things that I discuss in the instruction, soul age and soul type, because it's really about self-understanding, self-knowledge, self-awareness. It kind of starts with that. And then we can look at the other elements of the journey. Mm-hmm. And, you know, what I've tried to put in here through stories, anecdotes, and examples is, you know, for this to act literally as a guidebook for you to get the ideas, exercises in there as well, mm-hmm. to figure out your path. And we have a section on how to avoid other people's limiting beliefs.
Perfect. Well,
yeah, because that's such a big one. It's amazing. I mean, you know, you can be 70 years old and still have the voice of a parent, mm-hmm. but limiting your free will.
That it's possible. Absolutely. Yeah. That's a huge thing in this process that we have people do, is what I call unblocking, literally unblocking all of it. So I love that there will be, just like the instruction, there will be many tools and tips of how to get through and find that clarity.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's really about, you know, practical steps as well. It's the kind of book that I would have wanted myself, you know, way back when I was trying to understand, you know, how does it all work? Mm-hmm. And so I would have wanted some exercises and, you know, practical steps as well.
A big question I have that I think will be really intriguing for the community before I let you go is, I love that you talk about how certain soul levels can cluster together and incarnate in certain areas.
Yeah.
Like you speak about, I think, Norway being 10s primarily.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I say there aren't some other souls.
Sure.
Yeah, but there's a preponderance of 10s. Yeah.
Like consciousness that exists in Western.
Level 10 consciousness. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What would you say about the Highlands?
The Highlands of Scotland.
Yeah.
A lot of level 8 souls.
Okay.
I did look into this way back, you know, sort of when I was intrigued about, you know, where I came from. Mm-hmm. I mean, it depends on what you consider the Highlands. Some people consider my hometown of Aberdeen to be in the Highlands. Some people think, well, it's sort of ground level, it's not
lowlands.
Inverness is or whatever. So, but in more of that sort of central Highland area, I remember being quite surprised that there's a lot of level 8 souls mm-hmm. in there. And what they'll be looking for is community mm-hmm. and sense of belonging mm-hmm. and, you know, strong identity and so on.
Like the old clans, kind of.
Yeah, actually, that's. It, you know, through things like, you know, church community mm-hmm. activities and so on.
What did you find California to be, out of curiosity?
It depends on where you are in California.
Okay.
You got, and actually, it's really fascinating. I mean, LA has a lot of, you know, young soul energy.
Yeah. Boy, does it.
Oh, I know. Yeah. I mean, it's like, you know, a lot of level 5, you know, ambitious, driven people. Mm-hmm. Not so much of that introspection that you get with older souls. And then you get a huge, like, level 7. Older souls who still have some of that young soul drive, doing a lot of the creative stuff there. They still have the drive and ambition from the younger soul. It's like younger soul energy. But it's all about creativity. So mm-hmm. a lot of people who are looking for some sort of creative outlet would be drawn to a place like LA. They go up to the Bay Area or, you know, San Francisco itself. A lot of older soul mm-hmm. energy in there. I remember when I moved there, first day I'm there, I get a newspaper and open it up, and they actually have a Zippy the Pinhead cartoon. It's like some sort of hippie hangover from the 60s in the paper. And I'm going, wow, this really is an old soul kind of place. But you've got some young soul energy. I mean, certainly if you get out into, you know, Silicon Valley and so on.
Oh, yeah.
Again, you know, level fives. But a lot of the creativity of those, you know, level sevens as well, it would work for both of those. But you're not going to get a lot of level tens there.
Where have you found the most conscious place to be that you've traveled? Like the real end of the line tens?
Well, level tens form little pockets in certain places. So it's a little bit hard to say, you know, I mean, the way to determine how, you know, how old the majority of souls are in an area is to look at the bumper stickers. Really?
I love that. Yeah. What if there just aren't any, which is really telling in itself?
Oh, that could be, you know, I don't know. It's like what, like Amish country or something.
Totally.
Yeah. I mean, Amish, you know, we're talking about quite young souls there. You know,
absolutely. Yeah, it seems like a two or so.
Yeah. And, but yes, if you see bumper stickers that are things like, you know, protected by Smith and Wesson, you know, you're in level three or four country, you know, and, but, you know, if it's, you know, visualize world peace and Bernie for president, you're probably looking at an older soul.
Yeah, absolutely.
Part of the world, you know, so that's how I would decide, because even in a, you know, in one locale, you could get, you know, different pockets of souls. But it's really a lot about soul age shows up so much at the ballot box.
At
the ballot box.
Oh, you know, absolutely.
How people absolutely vote.
Yeah, like if we're in it together or not, kind of a sort of separation.
Well, that's part of it, yes. I mean, you go from the conservatism of the young souls, it's fear-based.
Yeah, absolutely.
To the more progressive, more connected to one another. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the signs, I mean, would definitely be, you know, the older the soul, the more concerned about the environment, other people, social justice, we become.
Absolutely. I love that. Is there any last things that we should know kind of about the new book, about soul levels, just anything new you're working on or new to
part on? Oh my gosh. Well, one of the things that's come up an awful lot recently, and I talk about a little bit in the book, and it may be something I'll talk about more in the future, is about patterns in your life. And if you see patterns emerging, it tells you what you're working on.
Wow. I believe that in manifestation too. They lead to the answer.
Right. Because, you know, an example would be, you know, I'm thinking of one client particularly who I saw huge betrayal in a past life. And I said to her, you know, you must be working through this in this life. I said, have you ever been cheated on? And she said, well, over and over, you know. And well, what happens when you see these patterns is that it's a sign that you've got something to work through. You're drawing in, you know, all the time. And one of the most important things that I've heard from my spirit guides, I put this in the book, I think I've mentioned it more than once, is that the spirit guides will say that the experience is not the lesson. The lesson is what you draw from the experience. Mm-hmm. And there's always a positive lesson, no matter how negative the experience.
Absolutely.
You know, and I've tested my spirit guides. And I said, well, you know, what happens if you're undergoing this awful torture in a prison? They go, well, it teaches you the importance of human dignity and how people should be taught. It's a positive lesson there.
I totally agree.
And so the problem is that where you get patterns emerging is that we're not drawing the lessons. Are not processing what's happening,
and not healing it,
right?
Yeah.
So it's like here we go again. It's like, you know, for people go, you know, for mine it was like, you know, always seeming to draw in alcoholic partners.
Mm-hmm.
But when I was able to understand that was partially karmic, you know, because I'd been an opium addict in a past life, and my soul's going, okay, well, we're going to give you some lessons here. You're seeing the other side of the coin, which is karma. I talk about this in the book and even mention my own experience with this. But you can, if you can figure out what the lessons are and transcend them, you don't have to keep bringing the experiences in. Again, this is why I say I would love to have had this book when I was younger. You know, and that's, and partly when I'm writing it, I'm thinking, yeah, it's like for people who want to, you know, want the faster track to, you know, getting your act together.
Yeah, hacking life a little bit.
Yeah.
Getting the most out of it.
Right, absolutely.
What do you have to say about addiction if you keep facing it in this lifetime? That's obviously attached to a past life. What do you see when you have clients that show up in your practice that are suffering from addiction?
One of the themes that I see there, it's to do with a past life fear. We talked a little bit, I think, about the past life fear of inferiority.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll see sometimes that can put a person into a victim place.
Mm-hmm.
They can feel like a victim of circumstances, but they can also become a victim of a substance as well. The other thing that can happen is that there's a past life fear of powerlessness that stems from life as a prisoner or slave, where you had no power. And let's say you spent, you know, your entire life on a slave farm and no freedom whatsoever. Well, in this life, you're going to have that heightened need for freedom. You will respond very strongly if somebody tells you what to do rather than asking you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the don't tell me what to do response. And sometimes you can get addiction issues there. And one thing is that a person who's had no power in a previous lifetime can sometimes feel like, well, I, as an expression of freedom, you know, they become the teen who wants to drink, smoke, and
mm-hmm.
do drugs. You know?
Yeah.
And then, ironically, they become victimized by, you know, what started out as an expression of freedom then become it's sort of turned 180 degrees. But because of the past life fear and beliefs and so on that are connected with powerlessness, they can feel that they have no power to change things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people like that, one of the signs is that as well, it often points to the fear of inferiority, is that maybe you go out and you tie one on and everybody else is going, wow, what a night we had, you know, looking forward to doing that again.
Mm-hmm.
But you have that alcoholic remorse, you know, oh my God, I feel so bad about myself. And part of that is the soul trying to, it's imbuing you with negative emotions,
mm-hmm.
to try and get you not to do it.
Because
especially if you've been an addict or, you know, had any addictive issues in the past life, whether it's, you know, food or whatever, you know.
Yeah. I love that. That makes perfect sense to me. Absolutely. Oh, this new book's going to be so helpful for everybody.
Thank you for providing it. I hope so. I've crammed it with information.
Oh, I can't wait. Yeah. I literally am headed to the mailbox now that I'm finally back to go dig in and just go through the whole thing. So,
well, that's great. And if I can just mention,
yeah,
oldsoulsguidebook.com.
Excellent. And it launches on the 15th. So this will be coming out.
It launched yesterday.
Oh, fantastic. Congratulations.
Yeah. Thank you very much. Yeah.
Wow.
So, you know, my new baby's out in the world. So.
And where can we find you otherwise?
AinsleyMacLeod.com.
Excellent. And you have an Instagram too, I've seen, which we'll be tagging you as well.
That's great.
This community is going to love your work. It's right on track.
Well, that's wonderful. Well, yeah, I mean, I know who my audience is, you know, they're old souls, and you're going to be attracting old souls like nobody's business. So,
thank you. I had envisioned that I was a 9. I'm like, how am I a 10 and so materialistic? But then I also imagined that could have to do with lack in a past life as well.
Oh, absolutely. The fear of loss. It's one of the aspects of the fear of loss. Yeah.
You got it.
Yeah.
So, I love that. Well, thank you for your time. And we're so grateful.
So welcome. And I look forward to doing a full in-depth.
Oh, I can't wait. I'm emailing to sign up soon. My mom, I'm sure, will be right behind me.
Excellent. Okay.
She'll be very excited to speak to you as well.
Well, it's been an absolute pleasure talking with you.
You as well. And congratulations on all of the success and everything you're providing. And I'm so happy that they found that out and you're back in health. You must have had a heart issue in a past life.
I have had a heart issue in a past life. Absolutely. And I cleared some of that out to really help.
Wow.
And so probably been carrying this heart issue with me for decades.
Absolutely.
And now you just heal. An area of weakness, you know? And yeah. So surgery went great, and it's been 6 or 7 weeks since then. I can't even describe how good I feel.
A whole new existence. Really living the book.
I totally am. Well, it's good timing, you know.
Absolutely.
Feels. Yeah.
Well, have a beautiful day out there, and I so look forward to having a reading with you soon. Bye, Ainsley.
Take care. Bye bye.
You too. Bye.
Thank you so much for tuning into the episode, and I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did, we did. And in case you're not totally ready to join the pathway yet, I wanted to share a few of our free offerings that I'll often suggest to people as a little bit of a blueprint to get them started on their manifestation journey. The first place I like to direct people completely for free is the Motivation. You can see it linked below or on our homepage as our testimony library. And it's categorized by different subjects, whether you're calling in career, money, love, wellness, and much more. When you're reading about a member's experience of what they manifested, you're actually seeing to believe and showing your subconscious that that very thing is possible for you. The second place I like to direct people is to the free clarity exercise, which is also linked below. In it, you get to try our own unique hypnosis process, learn about the science, and some journaling prompts. And the best part about this, you'll get a tiny taste of what it's like to go into your hypnotic state, bring your subconscious forward, and create new neural pathways while receiving clarity. And the third thing, if you haven't listened to it on this podcast yet, please go back to the episode titled Manifestation 101, where you'll learn the basics of neural manifestation to truly understand this process. So go ahead and check out those free resources, the Motivation, the free clarity exercise, and the episode Manifestation 101, all linked below. And in an effort to make sure to have representation in this process series, go ahead and submit any process testimonials you have, especially to our LGBTQ+ community, our BIPOC, as well as the WISE, which is anyone in the community who is 45 and over. All right, we'll be back next week.